Welcome to Baby Boomer Tales. My name is Jim. You can find us at babyboomertales.com. Once you've arrived at our webpage, there are links to our YouTube channel, to our Twitter or X page, links to our podcasts on many different formats. How are you doing today? You know, I was thinking all week about picking teams when you were in junior high school, maybe somewhat in high school, say in PE class or something. I think I saw a advertisement where some kids were picking teams on a playground for basketball, and this one kid picked this other kid, and it turned out to be Shaquille O'Neal. And it made me start thinking about how wrong it probably is to pick teams like that in a school situation or an organized sports situation. Because what always happens is one or two kids are ostracized, left out, maybe sending a clear message that you are too clumsy or you have some kind of a defect. That's not a good word, but something going on with you that we don't even want you on the team or something. And nothing good comes from that. The big jocks, you know, are strutting around like we're the best. And some kid that maybe was born with one leg a little shorter than another or something, nobody wants them on the team, especially a school setting like PE. I think that's wrong on so many levels. Why can't the coach just pick the teams according to let's make this kind of even and level? And I'm not for participation trophies one little bit. But I think in a situation like PE class, that everybody should get a chance. Everybody should get a chance. And so picking teams, I'm against that on so many levels. Now, when I was in school and stuff, I was picked fairly soon. But I had a friend that his left side was kind of messed up. His arm was a little bit shorter. He walked with a limp. He's one of my very best friends growing up. And yet, on a deal like that, unless I was choosing, nobody would choose him. He was the last kid that anybody wanted. We never even gave a chance for him to show that maybe he could play. As a result, when we were playing basketball down on the playground or football or something, he did not participate in the least little bit. Now, we were bowling friends. We were on the same bowling team when we were kids, 12, 13 years old. And he was a good bowler. We were teammates on that. But I couldn't get him to play baseball or football, and I don't blame him. But possibly if he would given a chance in school, because coach leveled all that out. Maybe the best kid and the worst kid is on the same team. It may have given a person a little hope instead of humiliating them and putting them down. We're all in a pecking order in life. I understand that. But maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I think that a public school or some setting like that should be a safe place for a kid. Now, I know it's not anymore, but it should be. It should be. Enough about that, I guess. It just makes me angry. And I don't get angry over a whole lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of nonsense going along in this world right now. And I choose to not participate as much as I can. You know, somebody puts some stupid remark on Facebook that comes against somebody or something I believe in. I don't lash back or any of that, because nothing is going to come from that except an argument and hard feelings and stuff. So there you go. I know what I believe in. I stand up for what I believe in. And I know that the inmates are running the asylum in so many cases out there. But not everywhere. And I like to think, definitely not with me. Our unusual fact this week: the oldest dog lived to be 29 and a half years old. Now, the median age of a dog is 10 to 15. So this dog lived a long time. He was an Australian cattle dog named Bluey. The oldest cat on record lived 38 years and 3 days. His name was Cream Puff. The phrase "Heavens to Murgatroyd" first showed up in 1961. Old Snagglepuss said it on the Yogi Bear comedy half hour. It's a takeoff of the old expression "Heavens to Betsy." And last but not least, because we don't do least around here, right? The term nitpicking came about in 1956. It refers to picking lice eggs out of someone's hair. Oh gosh, you nitpicker. Now for the top 10 55 years ago. That's the top 10 pop songs this week in 1969. Number 10, Only the Strong Survive, Jerry Butler. Number 9, My Whole World Ended the Moment You Left Me, David Ruffin. Number 8, by Glenn Campbell, Galveston. Number 7, Indian Giver, by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Number 6, Runaway Child, Running Wild, The Temptations. Number 5, by Creedence Clearwater Revival, Proud Mary. Number 4, Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In, The Fifth Dimension. Number 3, by The Zombies, Time of the Season. Number 2, Traces, by The Classics 4. And the number 1 song for the 3rd week, it will be the number 1 song for 4 weeks when all is said and done, by Tommy Rowe, Dizzy. I think bubblegum music is starting to come in pretty much around 1969. Maybe it's already here. Spring's on us. It turned spring just a few days ago. Things are really getting pretty around here. I have some trees that are blooming out, like I have these pear type trees, and it's just a white bonnet on them. I have 2 of them. You can see those from the road, so they're quite pretty driving up here. Flowers are starting to bloom, like daffodils and whatever. Flowers are amazing because they kind of take turns on when their season to bloom is. And so we have the crocuses and the daffodils to start. It won't be long and the irises will pop their heads out. My birthday flowers around here are a purple bearded iris. I found them in a ditch on my birthday about 25 years ago as I was driving home from buying some boots. Came and I planted them and they did real well. And over the 25 years, the grasses kind of took over because they were down in our old garden, and the old garden's not maintained very well, but there's a lot of bushes, trees, and flowers down there, and it is very pretty. So my wife, a couple years ago, decided we ought to try to rescue some of that stuff that's down in the old gardens, and she rescued a bunch of Shasta daisies first, and they have just bloomed around the house, something beautiful. Last year, she went down and got my birthday flowers, those bearded irises. And just the other day, she went down and got some more because we had a bunch of them. Well, she got 7 or 8 last year. And I think she's trying to fill up this one flower bed with the irises now. We had a tree that something happened to it. It started dying. I started looking at it and there were hornets inside. It was an evergreen type tree. So I sprayed it real good, but the tree was already murdered and it was just turning brown. I had never seen that before. All these hornets, thousands. I just took an insect sprayer and went in there. When I say insect sprayer, it's not a can of Raid. I have a pump sprayer, kind of like what a professional exterminator would have. And I sprayed the heck out of those. That's the last thing I need is a bunch of hornets. Plus, I had to pull the tree out of there and take it down the brush pile. And I did not want to get stung by a bunch of hornets, if you know what I mean. So anyway, the grass is green all of a sudden. It's growing. We've had some spring rains. Soon the spiraeas will bloom, and they're big white bushes that kind of spirals down to the ground. and it's just very beautiful around here. My maple trees budded out way early because it was a mild winter. In the Colorado Mountains, back where I was born and raised, that little community that stood around 8,000 feet in elevation, in the heart of the north central Colorado Rocky Mountains. This time of year, things are thawing out and your beautiful snow is pretty much brown and slush. There's mud everywhere. It'll be that way till about May, and then all of a sudden, spring comes for a month and it's beautiful there. But right now, if you can afford it, you're on vacation and somewhere that has an ocean and some warm weather. Leave that mud and brown snow and gray skies alone. That country up there in Colorado has so much sunshine day after day after day after day. But the time it's sopped in and kind of gnarly weather and not very nice and not what you would call cold, that bitter 40, 50 below zero, but not what you would call warm. Well, it is a good time to leave there and come back refreshed and ready to get ready for summer. Because in my humble opinion, there is no place prettier in the whole wide world than that country up there where I was born and raised in the summertime. Now for another edition of Forky and Earl. One day in May, Forky came to Earl and said, "Hey, Earl." Well, Earl looked at Forky, and Forky looked back at Earl. Earl said, "What's happening, Forky?" And Forky said, "Phil has invited us to go to his cabin. He bought a cabin up in the mountains for $1, Earl. Can you believe that? And he said that if we want to come, we can go up there and spend the weekend up in the cabin, just you, me, and him." Earl looked at Forky. Forky looked off into the mountains. And Earl said, "I want to go, Forky. I just need to clear it with the folks." Forky said, "Me too, Earl. Let's find out and we can tell Phil tomorrow." So the next day, Forky said, "Earl, what did your folks say?" Earl said, "My folks said it was fine if you and Phil are going too, Forky." And so Forky and Earl found Phil in school and said, "Phil, Phil, we can go, we can go. Can we still go, Phil? Can we still go, Phil?" And Phil, with a big smile on his face, said, "We'll leave after school tomorrow." So tomorrow was Friday, and all day Forky and Earl couldn't wait to go up into the mountains to Phil's cabin. Well, after school, Forky and Earl and Phil got on the school bus and went to Phil's town 10 miles away, got off the bus, went to Phil's house, got some provisions. Phil told his mom goodbye and where we were going, and off Forky and Earl and Phil went, climbing up into the mountains. And Forky said, "Phil, that is amazing that someone would sell you a cabin for $1. And Earl said, "I'll give you $2 for it, Phil, sight unseen." Well, Phil laughed, and the boys were having fun as they went up there to the mountains. They walked and they climbed and they hiked and they walked and they climbed and they hiked. And finally, the 3 14-year-old boys came upon this little bitty cabin. And Phil told them that that is the cabin that he bought. And Forky and Earl's eyes got big and they got so excited and they went in and each claimed a bunk and each said, "All right, what do we do now?" So Phil and Forky and Earl cooked dinner and played and jumped around and told stories and had a good old time until dark. Then they went into the cabin and shut the door. Well, later that night, there was a knock, knock, knock on the door. So Phil said, "Who's there?" And a voice said, "Let me in." So Phil looked at Forky and Earl and said, "It's just my brother." So Phil opened the door and 2 older boys came in and was giving us a hard time and teasing us and told us that they hoped no bear got us and said that they're going to go back and tell the people in town that they couldn't find us. And they laughed and we laughed and we had a good time. And then Phil said to Forky and Earl that we need to get rid of these guys. Well, so we all told them that it was time that they go home, that this was between Forky, Earl, and Phil. So those older boys left. Well, sometime in the middle of the night, Forky and Earl and Phil had just gone to sleep after telling ghost stories and laughing and saying how stupid those older boys are. All of a sudden, the door was ripped open. Forky and Earl and Phil screamed. And the door flew open and flew closed. It was kind of just hanging there. And Forky said, "I think it's a bear, Phil. I think it's a bear, Earl." And Earl said, "I hope it's not a bear." And Phil said, "It can't be a bear. I've never seen a bear up here." And the boys were very afraid. And they got a knife and a bow and arrow and an axe. And they sat there by their beds waiting for the bear to come in and eat them. And Earl said, "Forky, I'm too young to die." And Forky said, "We will die fighting, Earl." And Phil said, "I don't think it's a bear." And Earl said, "It has to be a bear to rip the door like that." And the boys sat there and sat there and sat there, one holding an axe, one with bow and arrow pointed at the door, and one with a big old knife. Well, the boys sat there all night and nothing else happened. In the morning, things looked better. And Earl said, "I think we should go home before that bear decides he didn't eat us." And Forky said, "Do you think it was a bear?" And Phil said, "I don't think it was a bear." And Earl said, "What else would have ripped that door? Look at that door, Phil." Well, the boys walked back down to Phil's town, and Forky and Earl never went back. I hope you had a good time today, talking about spring and old dogs and bears that never were. Always remember, never forget to be kind. I'll be back next Wednesday. Thank you for riding along today. Peace out.